So the Leftovers Podcast, Derek Kramer,
Frank Arcari,
and we come at you now every Monday and Thursday. Yeah, that's right.
We're changing
it up
that.
A little bit. Blame me. So, yeah, at strong start there, right?
It's fine.
Speaking of blame me right there, that was terrible.
Yeah, well, you and suck.
Like I said, great start. Thanks for listening here. Goodbye. Anyway, Sabres. I mean, should we just start there?
I mean,
there's a couple of things going on, like coaching hires and Kyler Murray back in on the football side of things. But the Sabres, they go ahead and showed New Jersey that they were bad. They reminded the Devils that they were a bad team, and 5-1 comically bad game from the Devils. I mean, they scored first, like within the first 2 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the Sabres do? Just dominate the puck the rest of the time. Even when the Devils had the 1-0 lead into the end of the first period, they had 4 shots.
Yeah.
The Sabres had 11. The Sabres had 8 scoring chances compared to the Devils' 4 shots. And yet the Devils had the 1-0 lead on a goal that, I mean, Carter Hutton couldn't do anything about that. The only thing Sobotka could have done more was hit the guy before the puck tipped off of him.
Yeah, that's about it.
Which would be illegal. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe body him up, but that's it. That's the only other thing the guy could have done because he was in good coverage. It was a deflection in goal, and everyone's just like, what? This is not great. Come on now, guys. What are we doing here? But then the Sabres just rolled without Jack Eichel. And a couple things, Frank. One, it reminds us that we can't have nice things. Go ahead.
Can't have nice things?
No, we can't have nice things. And I joke about this because, I mean, there's always those fans that are going to go ahead and say, oh, we don't need Eichel. Go ahead and trade him for everything.
That's,
yes. Those takes emerge from the doldrums whenever that happens, which is hilarious. But it's just a reminder, like, why are you a fan of hockey? Like, can you just
why are you the way you are?
Yes, exactly. Like, you're Toby. Why? Just go away forever with that kind of take. It's hilarious. It's stupid. It's all of the above. And I, you know, like, that's the quick comment on that. I'm not going to really dive too much into that because it's hilarious. But then at the same time, you smack your forehead, you move on.
Or as Mike Harrington likes to put it, head to desk.
Dude, head desk, head wall.
Head door.
Exactly. There's a lot of ways you can do that.
Step on a Lego.
Drink some bleach. Pop in a Tide Pod and call it a day, you know?
Sniff the glue.
It's, hey, man, you're supposed to be doing that, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be bringing us together, the glue.
Yeah.
Way to bring something back there, Frank. Good work. All right, so. But because of how well they have performed without Eichel, on the whole, Boston game aside, where none of the forwards scored and Ristolainen got the only goal in that game for them.
Yeah.
The lines of practice are a little interesting now, Frank, heading into Carolina. You know, Skinner's going to be facing his old team for the first time. You think he's motivated already?
Oh, you know it.
And he's already got 29 goals before seeing them. How nice would it be to hit goal 30 on the season against your old team? I like the chances, though, because Eichel's coming back. Tage Thompson's on the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked Tage Thompson's game over like the last 10 games.
I have too.
Production-wise, it wasn't always there, but you liked what you were seeing from the guy.
Yeah.
And now with Thompson, it's just more or less becoming, all right, can we get more out of him? Let's see. He's going to get a look on that top line. He got that look on the top line in the preseason, and it didn't really fare well, but there was also only one game in the preseason. Now, you get to see it here with Carolina, a team that, you know, has kind of shored up its defensive problem a little bit, but Carolina
they
has
still
a problem,
can't score goals.
Which is funny, because they traded a 30-goal score.
Yeah.
So, line one, it's Eichel, Thompson, and Skinner. What do you think?
Eichel back with Skinner doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, of course.
I'm surprised. I like the idea of Thompson there, and it's something I've been wanting to see. My big question is, how's Reinhart going to be affected?
Well, I'm not.
He's been having a really good year.
No, I know. I'm saying though, like, so, I'm just saying this line alone. Like,
this line.
We're going
this,
line by line. Line by line.
So this line. So with this line alone, you're giving Eichel two shooters.
Yes. Thompson has been firing pucks at the net lately.
And if he could continue that with a guy like Eichel dishing the puck.
Oh, yeah.
He might. He could score. He might get a goal tomorrow.
Like, keep your.
That's what you're hoping. Yeah.
And find yourself open, which Thompson's been doing a lot more of, is getting himself into better positions to shoot the puck. Eichel's going to generate positions for you to be able to shoot the puck.
And you're just hoping that that there's some kind of chemistry there between the two.
Yes.
To go along with what, obviously, him and Skinner's been doing.
That said, right winger's just riding shotgun on the Eichel Skinner show.
Oh, yeah.
And that means he's going to get some freebie points, probably.
Hey, points are points.
If he keeps up,
all he has to do, that's really all he has to do, is keep up.
Keep up. He's not a rookie. He's a young player, though. Like,
he's a second year.
He's a second year guy, and you know, he's just got to be able to know when to be ready.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, take charge of some situations too. Like, yeah, Eichel is your primary puck carrier, but there are going to be instances where you are going to have to do something with the puck. I mean, Reinhart creates plays sometimes because of the fact that, you know, he has to do something with the puck. So make sure that you're able to take that part in there, Tage Thompson, and then everything will be fine.
So we'll
so now we go to the second line. You had questions about Reinhart.
Yep. He's with Sherry and Tsuboka.
And my immediate thinking on this is, quite frankly, only...
Can Reinhart drive the line?
Exactly. Can Reinhart drive the line?
That's really it.
The other question a lot of people would have is, why not Mittelstadt? And I know why.
Yeah.
And it's this. The minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to get Mittelstadt into a too large of a situation with all these minutes. Second line minutes are no joke right now when a guy has not really been producing on the whole like Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah.
Reinhart needs those minutes, and he's earned those minutes. Now, can he drive a line of Tsuboka and Sherry? Sherry, in particular, has been a little bit of a question mark now ever since a hot start to the season. I was always thinking, okay, we're probably getting that condition. We're probably giving up a conditional third now because Sherry's going to hit 20 goals or 40 points. Now, that is very much in question. As a matter of fact, it's now I'm going to don't trade Hunwick. We're only giving up a conditional fourth now.
Right.
I think that there is something to Reinhart playing better than he has. This is the chance now for Reinhart to quash the narrative of he needs Eichel to be super productive. He showed it with Skinner without Eichel.
Yeah, he did.
But at the same time, Jeff Skinner is a perennial all-star, perennial goal scorer in this league. He has proven he can do it. He has proven he can drive a line. Sam Reinhart has not been able to do that.
I think Reinhart could get Sherry going.
Riding with Jeff Skinner is a little bit... It's different than trying to be able to drive a line with Connor Sherry and Vladimir Tsuboka. So that's where it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
This is a real challenge for Reinhart, and I think this is kind of like a... It's not really the best situation that he's been given.
No, it's not. To be entirely true. That's what worries me.
So, yeah, I think, this is one of those things where we might have an interesting little impasse here with Reinhart. Okay, so now, third line. Casey Mittelstadt, Zemgus Girgensons, Jason Pominville.
I'm surprised they broke up Larson and Girgensons.
I'm not, because
I think
really, Girgensons and Rodriguez are interchangeable parts at times.
They are.
Here's the reason I think it's Girgensons and not Rodriguez. Defensive responsibility.
Sure.
I think Rodriguez is fine, but Girgensons is better at it.
Sure.
And giving Casey Mittelstadt a little bit of a crutch right now on the defensive side of things could really help him.
I think you could argue Pominville could bring that as well.
Yes, but now you have two wingers that are very defensively responsible.
My only thing is I'd rather see them give Mittelstadt a winger who can keep up.
Physically, Girgensons can keep up.
Physically, yes, but I'm talking offensively.
Offensively.
Pominville, I think, is when you want to see that happen. But his age has been catching up to him. Yeah. And he's becoming, you know, just exactly what he is, and that's a bottom nine player who at best would probably give you 30 to 35 points, which is what he's on pace for if he can get some more points, you know, in the second half of the year.
Yeah, it would be nice to get.
But Pominville also is a guy who I would trust to put Casey Mittelstadt with, because Pominville can shore up things defensively.
Yes.
And allow things to open up for Casey Mittelstadt and a winger who can keep up with him. And my I just don't feel like Gergensen's is the right guy for that. I feel like Rodriguez would be able to bring more for it. But at the end of the day too, Rodriguez isn't having a good year as well. He's only got like a couple goals this year, already halfway through the year.
Exactly. Like,
so I'm okay with Gergens. I'm okay with tomorrow night Gergensen's is with them, but if it doesn't work out, switch the two.
Yes, I would agree with exactly that. I mean, my only other question would be, what do we do if Mittelstadt continues to kind of struggle throughout all of this? Do you try putting him on the wing?
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday.
And this would have been a pretty good opportunity to
do that. I think this would be an opportunity. You
would put Mittelstadt on the left and then Rodriguez down the middle and then Pominville on the right. That would have been an interesting little way to do it.
Yeah.
But, well, we'll see what happens here. And then, of course, Rodriguez, Larsson, Oposo. Larson's kind of been a solid force on the fourth line.
I really liked Larsson on the fourth line this year.
And he's really kind of been – the fourth line has been largely successful.
Yes.
With the constant of Johan Larsson.
Yeah.
It could be Kyle Poso there. It was Patrick Berglund. It was Zemgus Girgensons. It's been CJ Smith. It's been Evan Rodriguez. It's been Jason Pominville, even to start the season.
Yeah. The fourth line has arguably been their second best line of the season so far.
And it's because of Johan Larsson.
And Larsson,
not because of really anyone else.
Yeah. Larsson is, he's playing a role that he is meant to play. He's playing a shutdown center,
but he's been providing something that
who's in your face, and then there's been times where he's been contributing offensively as well.
Yeah, he's doing something that he hasn't done in the last couple seasons, which is get a couple pucks in the net.
Yeah,
and that's a nice little refreshing pace for you for your fourth line to be able to get something like that. And again, when your fourth line is more consistent than your second and third lines, there's usually a problem.
And Larsson too has shown that. He's a guy who could be hard to play against.
Yes.
He's mean.
He's Angry Larry.
They call him Angry Larry for a reason. And that's the kind of guy you want on your fourth line.
I'm intrigued by something here, though, Frank. The D pairings. Pilot Ristolainen, Dalin Bogosian, Scandella McCabe.
None of that really surprises me.
Only one thing does. Pilot on the top pair.
I don't know. Which is the top pair, which is second pair? I can guarantee you Scandella McCabe is third pairing, but between the other two, I can't really say which one is top, which one is second.
I can sense McCabe eating some of the minutes for Pilot.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything remains
stagnant. That's the thing. That's a funny thing about hockey lines. We know Eichel's top is going Eichel's line is going to be the number one line, and we know Larson's line is going to be the number four line, just based on minutes, based on the depth chart and all that. When I'm looking at Brayton's tweets on the lines right now, and he has Sherry, Soboko, Reinhardt as line two, Gergensen, Millicent, Pominville as line three.
A lot of people do,
and that may very well be the case. But heading into tomorrow night, that might not happen because they might Mittelstadt, Pominville, Gergensen might get more minutes than the other line. And when you go with D pairings too, Ristolainen and Pilot might get the top pairing minutes. Bogosian and Dahlin might get the top pairing minutes. We don't know.
I will say this. You're onto something on the D pairings there.
I think the forward pairings is more set.
I think the forward lines are more set because Mittelstadt, if you look at the usage this year,
I think
Soboka has been averaging far more minutes than Mittelstadt on any sort of basis. Same with Reinhardt, same with Sherry.
Yeah, but I'm saying is at least for going into this game, it can still change.
The only player that has gotten more minutes on the third line there is Pominville.
Yeah.
And that was because he had a stint with the first line.
Yep.
I think the forward lines are largely set in stone. So,
plus Brayton has Bogosian, Dahlin as the number one, Pilot Ristolainen as number two, and you're obviously seeing it as Pilot Ristolainen as one.
Yeah. And
so that's why it's like, I'm just like,
depending on the night, Dahlin, I think it depends on the night. Or Ristolainen gets the top minutes. Either way, Erasmai ends up with the top minutes on the team.
Yeah. And either way, it doesn't matter as long as the team wins.
By the way, can we breathe a little now, everyone? They got 4 out of 6 points without Jack Eichel. You finally beat the Florida Panthers.
Yeah. And you crushed another team that you told you're supposed team to
they're
win.
Bad.
Yeah.
Which is what a playoff team should do, is win games like that and sometimes win them like that.
Yeah.
Can we calm down now a little bit? Like, sky's not falling.
They're not going to calm down.
Sky isn't falling. Sky hasn't
been
falling.
The sky is falling to them.
Sky is not falling. It hasn't been falling.
It's never.
Have they been on a slide? Yes. But you know what happens to teams that are in wild card races? They do that.
Yeah.
An interesting team to watch, though, Frank. The Columbus Blue Jackets. Have you noticed in the division standings that Columbus has kind of been within striking distance of the Islanders?
Columbus is at 51 points right now. They sit third in the Metro. Islanders are 1 point behind them.
Exactly. If Columbus goes on a little bit of a slide, and you saw something with Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Not playing tonight based on some form incident. Of conduct.
Incident.
Thing. Yeah.
And remember, John Tortorella's a head coach, so maybe he was just like late for practice or something. And that's it.
There is something. There's something there based on conduct from Bobrovsky that he's not playing.
Bobrovsky's not playing tonight. That's
if this team goes on a slide, Bobrovsky's a free agent. Panarin's a free agent. He doesn't want to stay in Columbus. If Columbus
goes he wants to stay. He just wants to get paid.
Everything that everyone's been reporting though is that he wants to go to a big market, major city kind of thing. And Columbus ain't it, chief.
Of course he wants it. A lot of the talk is possibly the Rangers as being that big mark because it's a New York. But
the Rangers are so bad.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to go.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to Columbus for the right price. I guarantee you this. If he hits the open market, he's getting $10 million, and that's probably what it's going to take for him to stay in Columbus.
Yeah, I know. And my big thing is this: if Columbus hits a slide, they could look at those two players and go,
they can move them.
We have a chance. They to may get a have lot. To. We could get the world for Artemi Panarin as a rental.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping for that. Kind of hoping that Columbus goes on a little bit of a schneid.
Do you want to trade for Artemi Panarin?
No, I just want to see them out of our way. Because then the Islanders would take the three. The Sabres would have less contention for the wild card with a sliding Blue Jackets team that hopefully dishes Bobrovsky
and
Panarin.
Are you saying you don't want to trade for Artemi Panarin? I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
I mean, of course I'd want to, but they don't have either A, the cap, nor B, the assets that I'd be willing to part with for a rental like
Artemi
Panarin.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
so
joking.
Actually, you know what? No, I don't want to trade for Artemi Panarin.
Yeah, it's going to cost way too much, and it's a rental.
There,
so.
you want the real answer there? I don't want to trade for Artemi Panarin.
Okay, good answer.
All right, then. There you go. Wait, what? Okay.
I think it's more likely, though, that Bobrovsky gets traded than Panarin.
Yeah, because they have Korpisalo in waiting, all ready to go. And they spent
and
the
I think
first
they
round
want
pick.
To. They want to keep Panarin. They want to keep him. I don't.
They
I
can
think,
use the Bob money to sign Panarin.
Yes.
And you paid a first-round pick to protect Korpisalo in the expansion draft.
Yes.
Which kind of tells Bobrovsky, I'm not the future here.
He's not having a good year.
I mean, it's probably because of the fact that he's realizing he's not the future there.
Neither right? is Korpisalo's not having a worse year than him, Bobrovsky.
Really? Ew.
Bobrovsky, 18-13-3, 2.87 goals against, .906 save percentage.
Numbers for
Korpisalo
has
below .900.
But goaltenders on the whole this year have been a little less stingy.
They're right now their numbers are below average.
Yes, but I'm saying like average is sunk.
The average is also lower. Yes.
Yes. Oh, they're playing below average, but the average is also lower than average.
I think the average is probably around 912 this year.
Mm-hmm.
911 somewhere around there.
And that's lower than usual, I would say.
And that's, yeah, typically lower.
Like, usually like a 917 or something.
Last few, before 2 years ago.
Because I know, like, if you're rocking a 9.2 something, you're pretty dang good at this point.
Yeah.
But now, if you're rocking a 9.2.
915, I believe, was around the average, yeah. Like, up like until, like, up until, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Something like, yeah, I was thinking of something like,
and that was, and that was like, and bef- and that was pretty much in between around 2010.
Hell, so look at Robin, I would say
about
ago.
Yeah, I would say about between 2010 and 2015, the league average was about 915.
Yeah, look at Robin Leonard from 2 years ago. He was above average. You can see the statistics on that.
Yeah,
and you know, but again, now it's goalies a bit are weird. Different. Goalies are weird.
I should know.
Y'all are weird people.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking at this as I'm kind of hoping for a Columbus slide so that they maybe do think that they need to dish Panarin and they do dish Bobrovsky and they do get assets and they do sell off a team and kind of crater themselves out of the picture.
I don't feel like they're going to slide.
I'm not saying that I feel like they're going to. I'm saying what I want.
I know you hope you're hoping for it.
What I want and what is going to happen a lot of times, unfortunately, do not line up.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to really see it happening. Most years, you're always going to have that one. You're always going to have one team on the outside looking in who's going to buy at the deadline because they're right there,
mm-hmm.
and they just need that one piece. It's probably going to be either Columbus or the Islanders. It's going to be that team.
Yes. Yeah, I think
so. I think both of them are going to be pretty much neck and neck the rest of the year. Washington and Pittsburgh is likely going to stay at the 1 and 2 in the Metro.
Yeah,
and then Columbus
all things
or the Islanders
back to normal.
Yeah, Columbus and the Islanders. One of them is going to be the 3, and the other might miss the playoffs.
All right, which,
even though they buy at the deadline.
All right, fun fact here: since we're now in wild card discussions, there's 3 different possibilities. Well, there's 3 pretty much of the same possibilities as there were.
Yeah.
With playoff teams that you would get to face.
Yeah.
They are still Tampa, they are still Toronto, and they are still Washington.
As of right now, Washington, yeah.
Yeah. If it's Pittsburgh, I'm actually kind of...
If it's Pittsburgh, I feel better.
Yeah, I'd feel a lot better, actually.
Yeah, I'd rather play Pittsburgh.
Come on, wild card one, guys. Lock it in, for the love of God. Because, again, playing Tampa is a death wish.
Yeah.
And, whoa, look at you suddenly saying that.
It absolutely is.
Mr. Last time we did this, you said you just get in and you figure it out from there, and anything can happen.
It's still true.
Yes, but now that without
it's
with,
still
with
true,
the slide after the win streak, you're now kind of a little less macho on that take, are you? Because you just agreed with me wholeheartedly, really quickly.
I never disagreed with you that time to begin with. I just said
no. You kind of did.
You kind of said,
I don't care who we face because
I
the
still
playoffs,
don't
anything
care.
Can happen.
I still don't care who we face.
I know, but what
but
I'm
Tampa
saying...
is, but Tampa is still, you're, it's still a death wish to face Tampa.
I know, but I'm remembering from what you said last time.
I know.
Which was not.
And I still don't regret
saying
any of that.
Which was not immediately saying yes to me saying Tampa's a death wish. I was terrified of Tampa then. I am still terrified of Tampa now. Nothing has changed there. Am I a little scared of Washington? Yes, but they're Washington and Toronto are the same for me. You could score goals and let's go. It's boat race time.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Come on. Get some. Pittsburgh can be had, but you got to score goals.
It's a weaker Pittsburgh team than most years.
It's a weaker Pittsburgh team, but at the same time, we said that about like a lot of – we didn't say it, but a lot of people said that about Washington last year.
Yeah.
And what they do. They only won the cup. So, but there are a couple teams that could be had. You just have to win wild card one in order for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Toronto would be an interesting series. I still would love that series. I don't care how it necessarily ends at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to face Tampa. And I also don't want to finish in ninth place.
Oh, yeah.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen first. I'd rank it as wild card one. Well, actually, I'd rank it as third in Atlantic, wild card one, wild card two, ninth place.
So order.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'd rank that as what I would want to happen. I mean, the Sabres are still within striking distance of Boston. They're going to remain that way.
It's going to be neck and neck all year.
It's going to be neck and neck all year for that and the wild card races.
They're 4 points behind Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Tampa, dot, dot, dot. How far ahead of Toronto is Tampa Bay?
12.
Jeez. Good news is President's Trophy teams often don't win it.
Yeah.
Why not us? Says Frank Arcuri.
Well, President's Trophy teams don't have to win it. Face them in round one, then you'll beat them.
Okay. I don't want to hear it right now. We did this before. I'm not doing it again.
They're literally on.
We even did this a little bit here on this episode. I'm not doing it again.
They might be on pace to almost be right up to the 96 Red Wings.
Really? That good right now?
They're 33-8-2.
They've lost a total of 10 games.
Yes.
Jeez. The Sabres hit 5 losses in a row when they got off the win streak.
I'm going to take a look real quick.
Take that, Tampa.
I'm going to take a look real quick and see where the 96 Wings were.
Yeah. Absolutely, because that's terrifying.
At 43 games into the season.
That's terrifying if that's the case.
Yeah.
So, while Frank does that, I mean, Carolina, you got to make sure you win this thing. I mean, their goaltending is not great. Never has been. As a matter of fact, Curtis McElhinney was claimed because of the fact that they had problems in net. Scott Darling, come on, really? Yeah. I'm not going to be scared of that. Doesn't matter who Carolina's goaltender is. I think Buffalo has a good shot at winning this. They should win this, and they should remind everyone that Carolina is not necessarily for real. The advanced statistics and analytics on Carolina say that they should be a great team, yet they're not even what I would call in wild card consideration unless they go on a run.
Right now,
what is with Carolina? What's with the advanced statistics? Are they lying to me? I haven't watched a Carolina Hurricanes game
right
all
now.
Season.
They're at 45 points. They're 6 points out of the playoffs right now.
So
they're 6 points behind Montreal, 7 points behind the Sabres.
Yeah. So they're striking.
They're
distance.
A team where
every year they're weird.
The advanced statistics does say that they're better than
the advanced statistics say they should be one of the top teams in the league
because they generate a lot of offense.
But the problem they don't
is
score.
The problem is that. I think what it is it's their high danger opportunities.
Mm.
They don't generate a lot of high danger shots. They just generate shots.
So the advanced numbers could be lying here, is what you're telling me.
I think the advanced
numbers are lying because the advanced statistics say that they should be one of the best teams in the league.
I think it's based off of the fact that they generate so many shots, but it's not shots that are either they're just shots that are
look if you're facing
getting to the net.
Look, if you're facing former Hurricanes
goaltending. And then obviously they're not getting any goaltending.
Yeah.
That doesn't help either.
Again.
Yeah. So go back to the Red Wings.
Okay, so what what pace is the Lightning on here?
First off, the Red Wings in 96 finished 62-13-7. They lost 20 games that year. Well, they lost 13 games and 7 ties.
I mean, Tampa's...
After game 43... Detroit was 31-9-3. Tampa's doing better than that right now.
And with those ties, there are opportunities for wins to grab extra points.
Mm-hmm. They were at 65 points. Tampa's at 68.
Lord of mercy.
Yeah.
So they're actually on pace to break that record.
Yeah.
Because when you said that they lost 20 games all year, we're past the halfway point technically. They would be able to match it, if not break it. And to think
they are on pace right now to have more points. I don't know about I can't say about actual wins because you get obviously the overtime losses. That Detroit team had 131 points.
Yo, we talked about how Nylander should be offer sheeted, and now that Matthews and Marner should be offer sheeted next year. Can we go after Tampa for the love of God, NHL? Please, like it'd be a great time to bring offer sheets back to kind of stop them from dominating you at every turn here. That'd be great. No? Okay. Because they almost got Erik Karlsson, too, by the way.
They almost got
Erik
Karlsson.
Maybe we should put an end to their madness.
Biggest thing, too, I'm looking at Tampa's cap-friendly page right now. They have... You have Braden Point's the only real guy who's a free agent after this year. He's an RFA, obviously.
Offer sheet.
And then you have Vasilevsky 2 years from now.
Are you kidding me?
But after this year, Anton Strahlman, Braden Coburn, and Dan Girardi are all free agents. They all come off the books.
So
that's over 10. That's 11 million coming off.
Only 11 million for all three of
for
them?
For three players.
Girardi's a bottom pairing guy. Strahlman.
He's still a top four.
Top four guy.
But he's his age. But he's starting to get up there in age because he's 32 mm-hmm. right now. And then you have Coburn and Girardi are 33 and 34. And remember, they still have Victor Hedman, who's locked up, Ryan McDonough, who's locked up, and Mikhail Sergachev.
Who's young.
Who's 20.
And cost-controlled.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
And obviously with Stamkos long-term and Nikita Kucherov long-term.
This is why you draft and develop players, by the way.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is how it happens.
They got Kucherov in the second round.
They got Point in like the fourth. Vasilevsky
was the first round. I remember Vasilevsky was the first round.
No, I know. What I'm saying, though, is like even your first rounders have to be drafted.
And they still have good prospects.
Yep. And they trade for Sergachev. And they got more prospects down the pipeline. And you've seen the likes of Andre Palat and Tyler Johnson have their roles.
Tyler Johnson was an unsigned player. Or was undrafted.
But again, like they developed these players through their program.
Palat, I think, was a seventh round pick.
Again.
Like what the hell?
Their development system is kind of elite at this point.
Yeah. So, and now they're on pace to possibly better than the 96 Wings.
This is why
you draft and develop.
This is why you draft and develop. This is why Rochester. This is why Botchrill put an importance on Rochester. This is why Tim Murray can suck eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This reason alone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to point to Pittsburgh for this. You could point to Tampa.
Yeah.
Ugh. Great. Great. Fantabular.
Yeah.
And if it was Carlson instead of McDonough, good Lord.
Ugh.
Not that McDonough's bad.
But they got Carlson.
Think about that. Not even that McDonough is bad. It's just that it would be terrifying.
Think about this. What Tampa gave up for McDonough, they easily could have given up less for Carlson.
Because the Sharks did.
Yeah.
I'd say they probably give up as much because
they probably would have given up the same
because we've seen Ottawa be stingy about trading within.
They wouldn't have even traded to Tampa anyway.
That's what I'm saying though. It's like, you know, if Tampa gave that package, it would have been the same package.
Oh.
But yeah. Anyway, Tampa's a death machine. Got yes. it. That's the main point there. Sabres should be able to take this one here. They got Carolina on Friday. What do they got for the rest of the? Isn't it Western Canada after this?
I believe so. Speaking of Tampa.
Uh-oh.
They got to face Tampa on Sunday.
Oh, awesome.
And then it's Western Canada.
As if a Buffalo team getting bludgeoned on a Sunday was not enough for me.
Yeah. Carolina tomorrow. Tampa Saturday, actually. Sorry. And then starting on Monday, Edmonton, Calgary on Wednesday, Vancouver next Friday.
I kind of want to face Edmonton and get all of the secondary scoring.
I know, right?
And then just tell Peter Chiarelli to suck it.
That'll probably happen.
Like McDavid could do
everything.
And then after that,
they don't play again until the end of the month.
Watch it. Like McDavid outscores Eichel 4-1 in that game, but Edmonton loses 7-4.
Yeah. McDavid scores 4 goals, still loses.
McDavid puts up 4 points, still loses.
Oh,
because Edmonton.
Because Oilers.
That's what I want. I don't care.
Sure. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, after Vancouver, they don't play again until the 29th.
What are we going to do at that time?
11 days. No Sabres.
11
well,
days.
Well, remember, the All-Star game. The All-Star weekend will be around then. And then the Sabres also. For some reason, they decided to schedule the Sabres bye week during, like, the All-Star, around All-Star time. So, like, they're going to have a week off, and then there's the All-Star weekend, which is more days off.
So their bye week comes and ends.
They have an extended bye week.
So their bye week ends at the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling me.
Yes. Which is just dumb. So I'd rather have that like at a different point when there's a lot. Like, remember how we were talking about earlier
in
the year?
Can I take a stick and whack it at Gary Bettman's head?
Yes.
I know that this isn't necessarily
for more reasons than one.
I know that this isn't necessarily his fault, but this is his league.
Like, remember we were talking about Sabres playing all these games earlier in the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they had those extra days off.
It's not like they're even all that injured right now. They don't need an extra week off. Bad timing. You know when we could have used it?
A little earlier.
Yeah. When we were down to calling up Pilot and Gouley and Hunwick.
And Tennyson.
And Matt Tennyson played games.
Yeah.
We could have used the bye week then.
Yeah.
Matt Tennyson gave games away too. Ugh. Those are points he could have used. All right. It just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. And then you throw the Winter Classic in Dallas, and then you say you've got a perfectly fine system when you've had several lockouts in your tenure. Your system's not fine on the negotiation front either.
Nope.
I'm upgrading it to a wrench.
Okay.
Wrench to Gary Bettman's head.
Okay. We don't promote violence.
We do, however, find it hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway. Speaking of violence.
Where are you going with this?
Bengal fans might kill each other in the streets if they promote Hugh Jackson to be the head coach.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I have a strong feeling it's going to happen, too.
It's going to happen.
So, again, speaking of violence, the Bengals and what they're doing to their fans is...
That is violence.
That's rather criminal.
Yeah. That is just...
Me conking an NHL commissioner on the back of the head is nothing compared to what the Bengals are doing to their fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's extend Marvin Lewis. Let's fire him after the season. What? Why'd you?
I mean, about time you fired him.
But why did you put him in the extension?
Yeah.
Why do you do the thing?
About time you fired him, but why? But you gave him an extension.
Well, let's bring in Hugh Jackson and we can win one game on the staff. One game when he's on the staff. And you know Hugh Jackson is not respected because a cornerback intercepts a pass and hands the ball to Hugh Jackson, his former head coach, and says, "Here you go. Thanks, Chief." And then Baker Mayfield stares down Hugh Jackson. So let's go ahead. This Baker thing, by the way. Can we get off of this Fox Sports in particular? Because you're stupid. Because here's what you're doing. All you're doing is basically realizing that if you say something stupid about Baker Mayfield, people are going to listen. Because if people don't like Baker Mayfield, they're going to be like, yeah! And if they do like Baker Mayfield, like normal people do, they kind of hate listen and wonder what stupidity you're going to say. So I hate you for that.
Can we just like Baker Mayfield because he's a really good quarterback?
Can we just be objective about everybody?
Sure.
Apparently not.
No.
The answer's no.
No, the
answer's
no.
No. You're supposed to say no. Because that's how the world works. No.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Can we be objective about Lamar Jackson? No.
Lamar Jackson can be a really good passer. No, he sucks.
No, he sucks. He's terrible.
Yeah. Look what he did in the playoffs.
He only helped the Ravens get to the playoffs and kept things interesting in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Was he bad that game? Yes. Has he been bad all?
Who was good?
Has he been bad in all of his starts though?
Who was good for the Ravens in that game? On offense.
Eventually, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
It just took a little while.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's what happens though. Is you lose when that happens.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson will learn that, and he will find ways to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But was he terrible the whole time when the Ravens end up storming to the playoffs and win the AFC North? No.
No. No. Is he there? Is he there? A guy going forward? Yeah.
Josh Allen. Oh, the objectivity Whoa. That could be there with Josh Allen.
Ooh.
If only I was a marginally skilled offensive lineman that lasted only a couple of years in the league and was able to put all the takes out about quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
I'd be able to be so smug.
Yeah.
People probably know who I'm referencing on that one, and Jeff Schwartz can eat my Schwartz. The objectivity is just never there with these players anymore. And you want to know the biggest thing about all this? None of these quarterbacks in this draft class played an entire 16 games of a season.
That's right.
None of them did.
No, the only one who had the best opportunity to do that was Sam Darnold, and he also got injured.
And he got a bum ankle.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and tell me how we're supposed to automatically name these quarterbacks as Hall of Famers or busts when they've never even played a full season's worth of games. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious. It's not with any of these guys. I'm hungry, apparently. Mike picked that up. Absolutely, he did.
I heard it.
But, and if you heard it, that means Mike got it. But, again, it's even too soon on Mitchell Trubisky. It's too soon to assume that Patrick Mahomes is going to be this god forever.
Yeah.
It's too early to assume that Deshaun Watson will be able to tie things up on a consistency basis and do it in the postseason. Because, once again, the Houston Texans did their annual choke job.
Mm-hmm.
It just came last year early when Deshaun Watson was injured for the year.
Yeah. What? Now that we have 2 years of, well, almost a year and a half, pretty much, of Watson and Trubisky, and now a year of Mahomes, you're seeing the promise out of those three.
Yeah.
Now it's next year. Do we see the promise or the continued promise out of these other five? Out of Allen, Rosen, Jackson, Baker, and Darnold.
I mean, even Jared Goff and Carson Wentz took steps back in year three.
Yeah.
And again, there are cases where it's obvious. Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
Already gone.
Gone from the league.
Because he couldn't beat out Trevor Siemian for a starting job. That's where it's blatantly obvious that you drafted a bust, John Elway.
Yep.
But Jared Goff had a couple of games where the Rams were suddenly in danger of losing their bye week.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz and the Eagles were very up and down this season.
Yep.
And the Eagles have a far better winning percentage this year with Nick Foles in the lineup instead of Carson Wentz. Is that his fault? No. But has Wentz been perfect? No. He was not what he was last year. That's for dang sure. Does the injury hinder that? Absolutely.
I think he was still feeling the effects of, and obviously he had another injury,
but decision-making also has to do with it, too.
Yeah.
And decision-making does not require your full health.
Yeah, that's true.
So even the quarterbacks from up to 3 years ago now are still not finished products.
Yeah.
So guess what that tells me? That you shouldn't be dismissing or
putting up
the gold jackets
for
any of these players. Sam Darnold's gonna have to deal
with it. But it's the NFL, Derek. And it's either you got it or you don't.
Well, you know what Sam Darnold's got?
Adam Gase
a coach who drives locker rooms insane.
Yeah.
And Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jets, for just jetsing all over the Jetsy place, because best case scenario for me was you guys.
The butt fumbles at it again.
Like, the best case scenario was for the Jets to go ahead and hire Adam Gase. That was my best case scenario, because I saw that they were interviewing him. I'm like, please do it. Please.
Was it best case? Was it that, or was it Mike McCarthy?
Yes.
Okay. So it was both. Okay.
Yes, it was both. Both have offensive acumen.
Yeah.
Both are strangely unproductive based on their offensive acumen.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ryan Tannehill good? No. So does Adam Gase get a bit of a pass there? Maybe.
A little.
I mean, I was a little shocked that Gase was the one that Miami was moving on from instead of Tannehill first.
They might
They might do both. They might just hit the clean slate.
Because it really depends on who they. It really depends on who they hire as head coach.
Because Miami's been forever mediocre.
Yeah,
they need to just hit the big old reset button.
Yeah,
blow it up.
But for all we know, and Miami might do this because they're Miami. They're gonna hire a head coach who's gonna want to keep Tannehill.
Please do it.
Please do it.
And Mike McCarthy
is now gonna sit out the year.
Managed to derp up a team that has Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And now he gets to sit out a year because of it.
He should.
Think about what you did.
Think about what you did.
You have Aaron Rodgers on your team.
You go to your room and you think about what you did. You've wasted.
You sit in that corner.
You've wasted
in
the
that
ladder.
Little stool.
You've wasted the latter half of Aaron Rodgers' career. Thank you, yeah. Mike McCarthy. I appreciate it. And by that, I mean I absolutely don't, because the flatline face that I have and the tone that I'm going ahead and carrying on this is that I kind of hate you.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to appreciate Aaron Rodgers as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
As much as anyone should.
Yeah.
So, go to hell, McCarthy.
Yep.
Maybe that's too much. You go in your room and you think what you did.
He's wasted the second half of Aaron Rodgers' career. You deserve everything that's being thrown at you.
But not going to hell. Like, that's a little rough. That's a bit harsh, right?
It's Aaron Rodgers, though.
Frank, I was being hyperbolic. You should say, yes, that's a little harsh. Go to hell. Like, that's reserved for, like, Rex Ryan.
And Gary Bettman.
And Art Briles.
And Roger Goodell.
And Bill Belichick. Different reason, but different you can go reasons. To hell, too.
So,
who else can go to hell?
Rob Ryan?
Yes. You can go to double hell, Rob Ryan.
Double hell.
You go to hell twice. Doug Whaley, go to hell.
Ooh.
Tim Murray, go to hell.
Well, Doug Whaley's in the XFL. That might be hell.
Go to hell. The XFL is not hell enough for you, boy. Get out of here. Go to hell. Nick Saban, go to hell.
Ooh. Ooh.
Wait, no. Hell was the national championship game for him. Bam.
Ooh.
You burnt. So
Arizona hired Cliff Kingsbury as their head coach.
Yeah, this is an interesting one.
That's very interesting.
Kingsbury was not successful as a head coach at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that, though? Because recruiting is another part of the job in college football. And yes, you have to be able to recruit some players in the NFL via free agency, but the biggest thing is, can you scout the players out and find them via the draft? Because they don't have a choice at that point. Those players, they're drafted, they're going there, and they're grateful for the opportunity almost all of the times, like 99.98% of the time, everyone that is drafted is grateful for it, and they just happily play their first contract with that team at minimum.
Yep.
The question is, can you get all those players that you're drafting? Can you develop them as the coach? Can you develop those players that are drafted to you, develop them into their second contracts?
Yeah.
Can Cliff Kingsbury do that? Can Cliff Kingsbury get the staff defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Because Kingsbury played and coached in one of the dumbest conferences of college football, the Big 12.
Yep.
Where defense is non-existent.
Doesn't exist.
And it's damn near impossible to scout a quarterback sometimes because there's no defense there.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph looked awesome. Why? No defense. Baker Mayfield looked awesome. Why? No defense. Oh, also he decided to stomp Ohio State, who does have a defense. And then he also stomped a bunch of other teams. He blasted Georgia for 40-plus points. Lost the game, but he still destroyed their defense. But the Big 12 is so infuriating when it comes to scouting quarterbacks, because there's no such thing as defense there. The thing that you have to look for when you're scouting a Big 12 quarterback is, does he hit the tight windows? Does he throw it with anticipation? And that cuts out like half the throws in a game, because in the Big 12, your receivers are just wide ass open.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, come on. It's just one of those things where... They're wide open. It's just, it's hard to look at that kind of a thing and just be like, That's the conference I want. Yes, I know offense is fun, but too much offense is actually a bit of a detriment. When there's no defense, why are you bothering? Should the offenses play the offenses? Should both be on the field and fight for one ball and score a touchdown that way?
Sure.
Because that's basically what they're putting out there is offenses on defense.
Just a game of fumbly rumbly.
No, it's just a game of, oh, crap, there goes the receiver. I forgot my...
So Arizona has Kingsbury as their head coach now, and they have the number one pick.
And Kyler Murray is in this...
He's expected to declare.
And he's expected to go into the NFL draft. He's going into it for one reason and one reason alone, Frank. Kyler Murray's not going into this to be a second or third round pick.
Yeah, he's expected to be first.
He's expected to be in the top 10. Arizona holds a lot of cards here all of a sudden.
Yeah.
None all more interesting than this. They have a new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
What does a new head coach usually like? A new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They have a second year Josh Rosen.
I doubt that they're going
to. If Arizona suddenly becomes a tire fire and takes another quarterback in the first round and then decides to trade Josh Rosen, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with myself.
They're not going to do that.
I'm just stating something that Kingsbury did like Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray is entering the draft equation.
But if he's taking the job in Arizona, he's got to like Rosen too, right?
Yes, but again, they have the first overall pick. Maybe he likes that more. Stranger things have happened, Frank.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right.
Do I think it happens? No. What I'm saying, though, is that it's enough food for thought to keep it in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to put it away. But if Arizona's suddenly scouting Kyler Murray, eyebrows are raised. The only way that they could do that and get away with it is that if they want to bluff the Giants into paying an overload to move up to one.
That's what I'm thinking. That if they're gonna scout Murray, it's to get a team who's also scouting Murray to pay a boatload of draft picks to move up to one to take him.
Or maybe the Giants trade for another quarterback that wasn't drafted by them.
Giants trade for
Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Oh God, that would be poor Rosen to go from Arizona's offensive line to the Giants.
Ugh.
Mercy. Again.
I think it's more likely that
because
Arizona.
I'm just saying, put that little nugget.
The thought is there.
Put
the
nugget away in the back of your head. Put the nugget away in your back of your head, and we'll go from there. But
yeah,
no, my big thing is this. I don't know what the Arizona Cardinals have in Cliff Kingsbury, but here's my problem. And this goes for Matt LaFleur too, being hired by the Packers.
That's an interesting hire too.
The NFL is such a copycat league that it is blatantly obvious, and this is no more different than that.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona's opening statements about Cliff Kingsbury being hired, they mentioned the fact that he is friends with Sean McVay. You know what's really cool? Not that. You want to know why? What is your buddy, Sean McVay, going to do for you, Cliff Kingsbury, when he coaches a team that is the stacked powerhouse in your division? That you play twice a year. Yeah, he's your buddy. He's going to totally help you.
Look,
for a guy who has zero playoff wins, Sean McVay's getting a hell of a lot of run right now.
I mean,
everyone's like, we got to find
It's not as much of a bad thing.
It's basically becoming this, though. We got to find the next Sean McVay. How about you just find your next head coach?
Well, that's what they're doing. They just want the next head coach to be just like Sean McVay.
No. They want a Sean McVay.
I know.
There are different roads to being a good head coach.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sean McDermott is at least not bad.
Yeah.
He's not Sean McVay.
No. There's different ways you can win in this league.
I think Bill Belichick came into this league as a defensive coach. He's only been around forever now.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl. He was a special teams coordinator.
I think I think the night, the good thing for Kingsbury saying, hey, yeah, McVay's my buddy, you know, we've been friends for
it's
a while.
It's such a dumb qualification.
It's a dumb qualification, but now you can look at, now he can look at that and think, and just be like, McVay's just, you know, gonna help me out a little bit in terms of like, he's gonna tell, like, you're friends with somebody who, if you're two head coaches and you're friends, but one of them's new, the other one's gonna give you at least some pointers on.
But my big thing is this: when you're mentioning that in press conferences to sell to people, I'm just hoping that it's not something that you truly believed was necessary for the hire. Otherwise, okay, I'm changing your name to Frank McVay, and we're going to get you hired in 6 months to the NFL, okay? That's not a joke.
Let's do it.
It's an experiment. We'll see if Frank can become a head coach just because we changed his name to McVay. Is he at all qualified? No. But if he says he knows Sean, he's known Sean McVay for a couple of years, then damn it, he is sold.
Let's just do that with you, since you're the one who's more football knowledge.
I'm proving a point here, Frank.
I know.
Even though I'm also grossly underqualified.
Yes.
Also, I think Frank McVay rolls off the tongue a lot more smoothly than Derek McVay. Doesn't it?
Sure.
Frank McVay.
Sure. No, yeah, that's true.
My name kind of slows it down, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like Derek McVay. Like, what? What McVay names their kid Derek? I don't know. Is he part of our family? Was he at the family reunion last year? I'm not sure. I was kind of plastered. I don't remember.
You're plastered.
But you know who would remember that? Sean McVay. Sean McVay remembers everything.
Yeah, I know he does.
But guess what? Sean McVay might just be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a person.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you need to find the copycat of him. Did the Bears find the discount version of Matt Nagy? No, they found Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Who comes off of the Andy Reid coaching tree?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for a meme in a podcast?
Go.
Tired. Hiring Patriots coordinators. Wired. Hiring Andy Reid disciples.
Nice. Good work.
Down with the Belichick coaching tree. Up with the Andy Reid coaching tree.
That's how I should end it.
No, I'm not ending it on that.
Oh,
you want
to
know
that's
why?
A great meme to end on.
It's a great meme, but at the same time, it's we're not ending it on a meme. Oh, fuck. We're not ending this on a donk meme, okay? We forgot to mention a couple of things, actually, on the last pod. You know? Team USA looked pretty solid in the World Juniors.
Yep. Finland.
Sabres prospects.
Win gold.
Looked very good in the World Juniors.
Mm-hmm.
With Finland having two of the main pieces for their gold-winning team, including, as you had mentioned, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Luukkonen's going pro next year, by the way.
Yep.
Cool. Like, I'm excited for that.
Yep.
The U.S. is looking more and more steady. I'm excited to see what happens, and for the love of God, put your NHL players back in the Olympics because I want a shot at Canada. Because in 4 years, well, what is it? It's not 4 years now. What, 3 years? 3 years away?
Three, yeah.
In 3 years, the U.S. is going to have tons of young talent that will be, at the very least, ready to try to exchange blows with them.
Matthews, Eichel, Jack Hughes.
Quinn Hughes. Troop is not old enough to go away. Slavin on the defensive end.
I mean, Truba could be on Team USA.
No, I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, Justin Falk might be too old at that point.
Probably. Maybe. He could still make it. Patrick Kane could still make it.
But we're talking 3 years
down the line. Phil Kessel could still make it.
Well, I mean, 3 years down the line, I'm not asking Kane or Kessel to do it anymore. But Goudreau is there.
But you could still put them on the team.
Johnny Goudreau.
Think about this. Yeah, Johnny Goudreau with Jack Eichel.
Oh, and then Matt Tkachuk, and maybe even Brady Tkachuk, who both have been playing very well.
So think about this line: Brady Tkachuk, Jack Eichel, Patrick Kane.
I've got one worse for you. The two Tkachuks with put center here will piss everyone off.
Well, they're both left wingers.
Oh, That's a little disappointing.
Johnny Gaudreau.
As I say, like, that would be hilarious.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
To just
yes.
put the Kachucks on the same line and just piss
everyone
off.
Who else could be on Team USA? Maybe in 3 years from now? Casey Mittelstadt.
Hopefully. I'm not going to put my eggs in that basket yet. But
could
hopefully.
Happen, though.
Could. 3 years is a long time.
If things go right with that, if they're four centers.
If things go as
Team USA's four centers literally could be Auston Matthews, Jack Eichel, Jack Hughes, Casey Mittelstadt.
Put your NHL players back in the Olympics for the love of God.
Yeah.
But you're seeing, though, that Team USA is doing a great job of developing players and being contenders in the medal round almost every year now.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case in the junior level for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see that they're kind of growing things that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Playoffs this weekend. I swear to God.
Divisional round.
I swear to God, if I somehow do worse than last weekend, I'm going to just never pick a game.
Go over 4.
Look, if I go 0 for 4, next week's picks are guaranteed free, okay?
Okay.
There you go. But mercy, that was terrible. Started off great.
Yeah, Indy won.
Indy won.
And then
no one else for me.
No. I mean, we had the same, so it's...
Thanks to an Eagle player's big, meaty claws.
Yeah.
Big, meaty claws! All right, that's the way to end it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And, you know, we do this thing every week, twice a week for you here on WGR550.com. Sabres, Hurricanes tomorrow night. Tampa on Sunday. See if you can get 3
Tampa
points.
Tampa on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Sorry. Saturday. See if you can get a third point out of that somehow. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Sweep the weekend?
Best case scenario.
Well, duh.
That's about it.
Thanks, Frank.
That's about it.
I was going to say, sweep the weekend, you can make a lot of people happy.
Mm-hmm. And then
but definitely get two out of Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's a game you should
Or if
win.
You trip against Carolina and get the 2 points against Tampa, well...
Okay.
Fans will be like, exactly what you just said. Okay. Not how I would have drawn it up, but kind of what I expected.
Neat.
Point totals. I was expecting 1-1. I didn't expect it to go that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way like that would go.
Yeah.
I kind of hate Tampa Bay now. They play like a bunch of jerks, low-key, against the Sabres every time. Every time there's some dirty thing or some stupid thing that happens with the Tampa Bay Lightning now at this point where I'm just like, you're just as annoying as Boston. Without the fans and their accents. And the Tom Brady to rub in our face in another sport. What do you got, Jameis Winston on me? Ooh. I'll literally take Josh Allen over you guys right now.
Okay.
But, no, Tampa Bay kind of pisses me off now. Like, you saw how drained they were for the Florida game the day after.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just because it was a high-flying action game. It was because Tampa Bay did some scumbaggery. And it happens every time. Steven Stamkos? Ugh. I don't like Stamkos.
Just shows you how
I don't like Stamkos.
Well coached they are.
No, it just shows you how much a star player can get away with some things sometimes. Stamkos is...
I mean, McDavid got his face put into the boards and nothing happens.
Well, yeah, but that was a star player that got away with breaking his face. I'm joking here. I'm trying to shift the blame to McDavid because apparently the refs are so dumb that you can't criticize them for that because that's how dumb it was. They were literally too stupid to insult on that play. So clearly I have to blame McDavid for going face first into the boards, right?
Sure.
But I'll never forget Stamkos getting into a... Like starting a scrum. It was when the Sabres were in one of their tank years, but like...
Oh, Mike Weber.
Yes.
Yes.
But what's he do? He spears Mike Weber.
No, Ian spear him.
Oh, I thought...
He slashed his stick.
But yeah, like... But like he starts
Weber
because
Weber pushed Stamkos and then Stamkos
oh, that's
hit,
right.
hit his stick.
Yeah, but like he hit more than his stick though.
Oh, he hit a stick.
And then Weber goes after him.
And then Weber went after him because he hit a stick.
Yeah, but like Stamkos tries to get away.
That one was just a rough game altogether, too, because then you also had the Hedman hit on Gergensen's. Mm-hmm. And Cody McCormick and Pat Coletta played in that game, too.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. Oh. But like that's how much it dates back now with Tampa Bay being a pain in the ass to play against when you're Buffalo. Like, I don't like them anymore. And now that they're that good, I really don't like them anymore. Get out of here with this garbage. And Stamkos, if you try any of this stupid idiocy, well, I don't know what I'm going to be able to say about it because, well, we don't condone violence. We do find it hilarious.
Yeah.
In certain cases, of course.
And that's why you retaliate by...
What, beating them?
Having players who are also pain in the asses.
I was just going to say you can retaliate by offer shooting Brandon Poy.
Sure. You can.
They should.
Tampa can resign him, though.
This has been the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Aaron.
Frank Arcuri.
We're signing off for real this time.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Later.